If you ever want to encourage the preacher, all you have to do is show up. That's all you have to do. It's amazing. You know, people want to do something for the Lord. And, you know, one thing that you can do is when you come together, your presence just encourages other people. Because it can be discouraging when you come to church and no one's there, right? But you're here and it's a blessing. Encouraged tonight. Take your Bible and turn to Ezra chapter 8. You know, there's a couple subjects you can preach on and people don't listen to you. One is dieting and one is money. People don't listen and they don't like the subject either. But we're going to take it up a notch and we're not going to talk about dieting tonight. We're going to talk about fasting. Ezra chapter 8, and this is a verse that's been very instrumental in my life, has helped me in this area. First, I want you to notice, if you just glance at the first part of the chapter, you can see all these people look at verse 1. Now, these are the chiefs of their fathers, right? So, these people that are gathered together, they're important people. They're not nobodies, okay? And then look at verse 21, or look at verse 20. It says, for the service of the Levites, 220 Nephilims, all of them were expressed by name. So you have a ton of people here. And I didn't number them all. I don't know how many there are, but just that group of people, there's over 200 of them. Now, so there's probably several thousand people here, but look at verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers or horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us. Right? And we'll look at some of the rest of the passage in a second. Take your Bible and keep your hand here because we're going to come back. And I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. And Lord, I've come before You and I pray, Father, that You might make this lesson fruitful. You might make it encouraging. You might teach us something tonight. And Father, I pray that we would always rest our authority on Your Word and believe Your Word, Father. And I pray, Lord, that You, the Holy Spirit, would be here and You would teach us. And Father, I pray that tonight You might be much glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says this. Now, look at this with me. Moreover, what's the next word? When. Did it say if? No, it said when. So, moreover, when you fast. So, what I want to say here is, in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, fasting was a biblical mandate. It was a discipline that a lot of Christians practice. Now, before I get started, let me do a disclaimer. If you have diabetes and you do not have the health to do it and say, Pastor Cummings told you to, I will not have your blood on my hands. Amen? And clear it with your doctor or your witch doctor or whatever you go to. Amen. I know a lot of Christians go to these herbalists and stuff like that. Amen, Sister Kat. No, I don't want to pick on you, but if they look in their crystal ball and tell you you can fast, then you're good, okay? But no, they're good people, okay? I don't want to go there. What I wanted to say before I keep digging the hole any deeper is just make sure that you're healthy enough to do it if you're going to do it, all right? Because I don't want to get in trouble here. But so he says, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, believe me, if you're going to put the effort and discipline into doing this, you want your reward and your answer to come from the Lord and not from men. right? And so it's good when a group of Christians get together. There was hundreds of them here. They got together and fasted, right? And when you get together and you're fasting together and praying for stuff, that's different. And you can, you know, encourage one another and things like that. But what you definitely don't want to do is go out into the world and be like, hey, why are you dragging? I haven't eaten for 7 days. And they'll be like, you're nuts, right? And so don't do that. So you're doing this, you're doing for the Lord. When thou fastest, anoint thy head. That's kind of like in our day, take a shower, because you will probably smell bad too. Wash your face, and when thou appearest not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And that's what we would like to see the Lord do in our life. The Bible says that we're going to go back to Ezra here in a second, but it says in the book of Joel 2 and verse 12, therefore also saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with your fasting and with weeping and mourning. We do it to glorify the Lord, not to make a show of ourselves. He is more important than we are. We do it to show the Lord that he's more important than our necessary food. Didn't the Bible say Job said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food? Well, how are you going to show the Lord that that's true if you don't do this and you fast in certain times of your life? You show him that. Now, just some whys we can fast, and then we'll get into the message. So fasting can restore the loss of your first love between you and the Lord. And I don't remember if you know when you first got saved and first got on fire for the Lord. But there can be a tendency after you live your Christian life a while and you lose that connection with the Lord. And that's not something you get married and you're married for a while, then you take your spouse for granted. And you don't ever want to do that. You want to have times where you remember how blessed you are and how blessed you are when you're saved. And this can do something that can restore the first love with the Lord in your life. And here's the other thing. Fasting is a biblical way to humble yourself. Look at Psalm chapter 35 and verse 13. Now, have you ever heard the verse, Psalm 35:13? Have you ever heard the verse that says, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God? Right? Well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that in due time he may exalt you? Well, one way you can do that, if you look at Psalm 35 and 13, here's David speaking. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. So you know what he did? He humbled himself with fasting. And if you've done it for a while, you know it's something that truly does humble you. You realize how weak that you are and how dependent on the Lord you are. And you just go a few days without food and you realize how good the Lord is to you to give you things to eat. You know what? You realize that food is the best drug in the entire world. And so look at back at Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21. So it's a biblical way to humble yourself. It says this, there I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might afflict ourselves. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that you get whips and you go like you go on this pilgrimage and you start beating yourself and putting hooks in yourself like the heathen do? No, that's not how Christians afflict themselves. And remember, this afflict, this Old English, it's like humbling your soul. When the Bible talks about affliction, many, many times it's talking about fasting. And he says that's how you afflict yourself. That's how you humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord. And the Lord, he had different, Leviticus chapter 16, there were different days set up that the nation of Israel, they were always supposed to fast on those days. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord. How do you show the Lord that you're truly in submission to him and he is without question your authority? So much in the Bible about humility and afflicting yourself is through fasting and how you do it. You'll find yourself humbled. And you know what you always want to do in your life? You want to recognize that the Lord is your authority. He's your head and he's your God, right? and you love Him more than anything in the whole universe. And you know what you do when you fast, you'll hear feel those hunger pains coming on, and you say, you know what, Lord, I love You more than food. And I know You want me to do this, and I submit to You more than food. You are more important to me than anything in this whole universe. And I put myself under Your authority, and I humble myself to You. And you know one thing that it really will show you after you've done it for a few days? It'll show you the distinction between the flesh and the spirit and the soul, right? Because so much of what we do is driven by our flesh. And we don't even know it. And once you spend a few days with the Lord in fasting, you're going to find out that, say, hey, and it's like the fog clears up and you're like, hey, the Lord really is important. And I've been holding all these other things so much more important than the Lord. And I don't know what it does, and I can't scientifically explain it, but it just gives you a time to where you can clearly see some things clearly in your life. And you know what it will help you do? It'll help you to be able to see things in your life that you need to repent of. When Jonah come into the men of Nineveh, you know what they did? He said 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And you know what they did? They proclaimed a fast from the greatest to the least and to the animals. And they put sackcloth and ashes. And they said, who can tell if God will be merciful and forgive us? And you know what the Lord decided to do? Not destroy Nineveh. Ahab, look, and just look at this, and then at 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25. The Bible, 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25. It enables the Holy Spirit to reveal your true spiritual condition, resulting in brokenness, repentance, and a transformed life. And that can be an avenue to spark revival and see other people get right with the Lord too. 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25. Now, this is so interesting because you don't have to be spiritual to fast. Look at this. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself toward wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominable in following idols according to all things he did as the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elisha the Tishbite saying, see how Ahab hath humbled himself. You see that humbling there through fasting again before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days I will bring the evil upon his house. Now, as wicked and as evil as Ahab was, he got the Lord's attention and he got the mercy of the Lord when he fasted. And so many times people have this perception, well, these people that fast are very spiritual. Maybe they're wicked like Ahab and they need the help of the Lord. Right? And you know, there's something about it. There's all kinds of times in the Bible where you see the Lord going to bring wrath down and people pray and fast. And he's like, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to grant you mercy and I'm going to give you space and I'm going to give you another chance. And it's a very powerful thing that it gets the attention of the Lord in a special way. When you fast, the Holy Spirit will quicken the Word of God in your heart. Oh, when you fast and you read your Bible, it seems like the truths of the Bible become more meaningful to you. Okay, so back to Ezra chapter 8. So those are some whys that we would fast, right? Those are some reasons why we would fast. And here's some things that we can fast for when we fast. And this is very important. And I think this is pretty much the most important point, so we'll start with this. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21, you saw he proclaimed a fast. But why did he do it? Look at verse 22. For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Remember when he said to, in the Old Testament, when he said to Eleazar, see that you fall not out by the way? Remember, we are on our way to heaven. We're traveling the road, we're pilgrims, and we're on our way to search for the Lord. And you know what? There's an enemy in the way. And I'm sure that most people in here know who the enemy is. The Bible says that your adversary, the devil, your adversary, your enemy, he as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. And you know what he is? He's there by the way. And you know what? Oh, that lion, they killed that young man that was by the way. And those lions, they come out and they get you when you're not suspecting them. And you know what that is? That's a picture of the devil. And he said, I had these enemies and they're lying in the way. Because, and I was ashamed to ask the king for it, because we had spoken of the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. And you know what we believe? We believe that the Lord protects his people, don't we? And we believe that the Lord can protect us against the devil. And we believe that we can resist the devil steadfast in the face, and we believe that greater is in he than us that is in the world. And too often Christians don't realize when they're battling the devil. And when they are battling the devil, you know what Christians do most of the times when they're in a fight with the devil? They try to fight a spiritual battle in the flesh. You cannot fight a spiritual battle in the flesh. If you're ever going to ever get victory over the devil, you're not going to do it with lawyers and Facebook and guns and ammo and words. You're not going to get it that way. He says, the hand of the upon all them that seek him, and his power and wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Look at verse 31. Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and of such as lay in wait by the way. Why were they delivered? They didn't have, you know, it'd be nice to have a band of soldiers from the king to go with you, wouldn't it? But they didn't have that. It'd be nice for us to have a legion of angels that we could call at any time. The Lord could, but we don't. We probably have angels that are ministering spirits sent forth to minister and help us somewhere, but we can't see them, and we don't even know what's happening in the spiritual realm there. But wouldn't it be nice to see a band of soldiers around us? But that's not something we can see, but we can get the help of the Lord on these things, and we don't have to be ate up by the devil, and we don't have to be deceived by the devil. And you know what? Remember, if you read the book of Ezra up to this point, Ezra had a lot of enemies. He came there, and look at Ezra chapter 4, and these are the people that he wanted protection from. And I'll tell you this. The Bible says this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means that we're not fighting with each other. We think it's with each other, right? But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And you know what? Just like the Lord is looking for a willing vessel for people to serve him, the devil's looking for a willing vessel as well. And you know, there's many people that offer themselves willing vessels to the devil to serve him. And the things they do don't even make sense from a human perspective. And you know that you're in a battle. You're wrestling with the devil. And you can get mad at these people all you want, but you have to recognize, like the Lord said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art offense unto me. He didn't say it to Peter. He said it to the devil that was inside him at the time, right? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And so Ezra's enemies, they were inspired by the devil, right? And he wanted protection from these people that were inspired by the devil. And so look at chapter 4 and verse, chapter 3 and verse 13. The people could not dissuade the noise of the shout from the noise of weeping of the people, for the people shouted loud with a shout, and the noise was heard far off. Everyone's so excited because they've laid the foundation of the house of the Lord, and they're doing something for God. Things are getting done that glorifies the Lord. And when the adversaries, that's our adversary, the devil of Judah and Benjamin, heard that the children of captivity builded the temple unto the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel, the chief of the fathers, and said, let us build with you. Sometimes when you fast and pray, you pray that the Lord keeps you from joining up with the wrong people as well, right? Because you know what they try to do? They try to attach themselves to you. And then they go there and then they can't, they're not successful there, so they tried to hinder what they were doing. And then they weren't successful there, so they tried to frustrate their purpose. And you know what? That's what the devil is always trying to do. Trying to get you involved in fighting a battle you're not even supposed to be fighting. So you're not fighting the Lord's battles anymore, and the house isn't getting built from the Lord because the devil's trying to frustrate your purpose. When Pharaoh tried to get the people to stop going out and sacrificing to God, you know what he did? He gave them something else to do. He said, make more bricks so you won't be worried about going out and sacrificing to the Lord. He tries to frustrate your purpose. Listen, we have a mission. We have a purpose to glorify the Lord. And anything that takes away from that, that's the enemy coming to try to distract you from your purpose. And when that didn't work, they wrote a letter to the king. And this letter was full of lies and it was full of slander and it tried to hold their past in a false light against them. And those were the people that he wanted protection from. And those people that were trying to tear down instead of build. Listen, whenever you start building something from the Lord, if the devil's leaving you alone, shame on you. Because whenever you start building something and doing something for God, the devil is going to show up and he's going to try to stop that and resist that. Because you know what? The devil, he doesn't care as long as you're not building something for the Lord. And he doesn't care how he stops it, because it's always easier to tear something down than build something. And you know what the devil does? He comes to destroy. Doesn't the Bible say that? Because he knows he has a little time. And you know how you can recognize the devil working? He's always trying to destroy and tear down and tear apart and take away. And there's some folks in this life, they don't care about building anything. All they care about tearing something down. And all that stuff. And so he didn't enlist the fight of an army of this world. He started asking the Lord to fight for him. Right? And why should we fast? Why should you fast? Because the devil's after you. And he's after your family. And he's after your church. And he's after anybody that's trying to do something for the Lord. Now I'll illustrate it this way. You remember Job? When the devil said, he said, if you let me touch him, he said this to the Lord, I can't touch him because you put a hedge around him and about all that he has. And since you have that hedge there, I cannot touch him. Right? Now Job couldn't see the hedge. But God could see the hedge and the devil could see the hedge. And you know what? If you're a Christian, you can have a hedge about you. How thick do you want the hedge and how tall do you want the hedge and how high do you want the hedge? And you know what fasting does? It builds that hedge of protection around you. And every time you go up, take your Bible and look at Daniel chapter 10. Why do we fast? We fast for protection from the spirit world and the devil and the demons and the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece and all those spiritual enemies that would try to come against us. Daniel chapter 10, Daniel here gets a vision that he doesn't understand. And in verse 2, I was mourning 3 full weeks, 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all. Till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So Daniel is fasting here for 21 days. And then after 21 days, in verse 9, he hears the voice. And look at this in verse 12. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day thou didst set thy heart to understand, to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I am come up for thy words. He said, the very day that you started to fast, I left to come help you. Now, doesn't the Bible say that there's ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those that are the heirs of eternal life? So how do you engage those? Well, Daniel did it here by fasting. That's how he engaged the spiritual help. Okay? Now, as we keep reading, let's look at the spiritual battle that takes place. He said, I left 21 days ago. When you started fasting, when you start fasting, God pays attention. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. You see the prince of the power of the airs? And you know what he has? He has subordinate princes under him. Withstood me 1 and 20 days, and lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So here's Michael the archangel and Gabriel, and they're fighting against the prince of Persia. This spiritual battle that's taking place that is engaged because of fasting. And I am come to make thee understand what shall befall the people in the latter days. And when he had spoken, verse 15, such words, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. And then he said, verse 17, for he's so weak from fasting and everything. He said, how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. He said, look, I'm not even strong enough to hear what you have for me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And then he said, verse 20, knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Listen, there's always a spiritual battle taking place. And the prince of Persia, the prince of Grecia, and here these angels are fighting for Daniel and they're coming to strengthen him. And you know what? He was weak in the flesh, but he was strengthened in the spirit. And you know what? Doesn't the Bible say when I'm weak, then I'm strong? And if you want to be strengthened, that's one way that you can do it. Because you know what? There's unseen battle that's taking place. And how do you protect yourself? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So he's 21 days seeking this new spiritual truth, and the angel came and strengthened him. And you know what? Sometimes you can feel yourself getting weak in the Christian life. Sometimes you can feel your defenses getting weak. And you know what you need to do when that happens? You need to raise those defenses. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And here's another spiritual battle that takes place. And this is the reason that you fast. One reason is for protection, to build your hedge and strengthen your hedge against the enemy. 17 and verse 15. The Bible says here, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for often times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Listen, there in America, we have taken everything that's spiritual and assigned a medical condition to it, right? And it's not always medical. Sometimes it's spiritual. And sometimes they overlapped. And that's above my pay grade. I can't tell you what is what. But I'll tell you this, there was a guy in my brother's yard the other day, right in the front of his house there, trying to take his own life with a shoestring. My brother goes and pulls the string off of him, and then he goes in the next yard and tries to do it again. And listen, and beating his head against the wall and foaming at the mouth. There's something spiritual happening there as well, right? And how do you combat those things? Well, you can't fight a spiritual battle in the flesh. So look what the Lord says here. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. You know, one reason we can't help some people in the church is because we're not at the spiritual level that we need to be at and the Lord needs us to be at. Because we have not put in the time and the discipline to be where God wants us to be so we can help certain people. And he says this, and Jesus said, answered verse 17, and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus and said, why couldn't we cast him out? Why didn't we have power against this devil? Why didn't we have power against the prince of Persia or the prince of Greece? Or why didn't we have power to withstand this attack that's coming against us? Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, even though you can move mountain with the faith of mustard seed, howbeit, this is something different. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and what? Fasting. Now, if you have a new Bible, you know what they do most of the times? They take fasting out. Why would you do that? That's the only way that you can raise your defenses against the devil. The disciples prayed. He said, but it doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting. And you know why so many people get destroyed in the Christian life? Because they run into this kind. This kind. The ones, listen, every time you go up in the Christian life and you put on a new stripe, you're going to meet a stronger enemy. New levels, new devils. Right? And when you go up, you know what you have to do? You have to raise your defenses. You have to get more help from the Lord and get more authority. Right? And how do you do that? Through prayer and fasting. And a lot of people, they leave off that part. And so, Job had a hedge about him. The Bible says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall then, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And a serpent's a type of a snake. And the Bible says in Isaiah 5:5, and go to now, I'll tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'll take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. And you know why the Lord took away the hedge around that vineyard? Because it wasn't bearing fruit for the Lord. So he said, I'm going to move my protection. Listen, God doesn't have to do anything to destroy you. All he has to do is remove his protection from you and you will be destroyed. And take away our hedge. Remember when Cain was worried about getting destroyed? What did God do? He put a mark on him. Remember when the death angel came and he was going to kill all the oldest sons of the children of Israel? That's spirit world, right? What were the houses that he couldn't kill anyone? They had protection, right? Ezekiel chapter 9, these angels come to destroy the people in the city, right? And one angel comes and he has a linen garment and he has an inkhorn. And you know what the Lord told him? He said, go mark everybody that when they see evil, they go, oh man. And they sigh and they're like, oh, it's terrible, right? He said, when people see evil and it upsets them, you go mark those people. They cry and they sigh and they want to see God do something. Mark those people. All right? The guy goes and marks them. Says, all right, boys, get your sickle. Go in and harvest. And the only people they didn't harvest were the people that had spiritual protection. And you know what? They didn't even know that they had it. They didn't even know that they were marked. Right? So I have no idea to know how much my safety is and how big my hedge is. But I do know how to improve it and strengthen it. And you know what? That's how you resist him steadfast in the faith. And that's how you get him to flee for you. Whenever I'm fasting, you know what I do? I walk around the perimeters of the property. Whatever property I'm a steward over, a direct steward. If the church, I walk around it. And I said, Lord, strengthen the hedge. If the enemy's in there, get him out on the other side of this hedge. Then I walk around my house, inside and outside, and pray over my children, pray over my wife. Lord, whatever protection's there, would you increase it? Would you help? Would you strengthen it? And whenever you're under attack, things are being under attack, you know what it's a good time to do? It's a good time to fast and build up that hedge. Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah hears that the wall of Jerusalem has fallen down and they have no protection. And so you know what he did? He wept and fasted, and God used that. And he went in there and built the wall and put people at the gates, and protection was around the city. As a church, we want protection from the Lord, from the enemy. And listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You can't fight a spiritual battle in the flesh. And that's how you resist the devil. He laughs at people that just dance about him. You know? I've been to a church one time and they sing this song. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. I'm like, you fools. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. And they're dancing, acting like they're stomping on the devil. I'm like, I have to get out of here. These people are crazy, right? That's not how you fight the devil. That's not you. Listen, it's God's authority. It's not your authority. The Bible says the Lord rebuke you, right? And the only way you increase that authority is you have to get it from God, and you get it through prayer and fasting. So why would we fast? Well, we would fast for spiritual protection. Back to Ezra. We'll go through the next two reasons very fast. Ezra. And chapter 8. In verse 21, he says this, there I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before God to seek a right way for us. There's the protection. And for our little ones and for all our substance, right? Another reason you could fast for is for your provision. You see, he fasted for his provision, for their substance, right? And I want you to notice, if you read this chapter, what they did with the gold and the silver and the substance, it was for the ministry and it was for the house of the Lord. And one thing we have to remember, that when God gives us things, is we are stewards. The Bible calls us stewards. And that's the idea that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all we do is manage whatever He gave me, right? And so if He gave me a paycheck of $500 a week, that's what I'm a steward over. If He gave me a house and a car, that's what I'm a steward over. I manage that for the Lord, right? And we have to remember that everything we give, the Lord gives us, He gives it to us to serve Him with. That doesn't mean we give it all to the church or anything like that, but it means that we're thankful for it. And we say, Lord, this is all yours, and I want to use this to honor you and bless you with it. And I want to manage it properly, and I want to save it properly, and I want to do with it what you want me to do with it, right? But sometimes you run into a place where the Bible says, ask and ye shall receive, doesn't it? And once you're managing things properly, I don't think it's wrong to ask the Lord for more or to fill in the gaps. And you know what this is? It's asking the Lord in a different way, right? And it gets your priorities lined up. And when you're fasting, you might say, Lord, I would like to have this. And now you're fasting and you're in a spiritual mindset, so the Lord goes through this with you. Well, why do you want that? What are you going to do with that after you get it? See, he said he fasted for his substance, and this is asking the Lord differently. And it's okay to do that, but we have to keep in mind that maybe the Lord has something else in mind than we're asking for. right? Brother Fisher said he his church was growing and they got too big for the little building they were in. And he heard down the street a really nice church building that was bigger and would fit their needs. And he fasted and he said went on a 40-day fast. And he prayed and he went to that place every day. And he prayed and said, Lord, would you give us this place for the church and for the ministry? And he said, after 40 days, you know what the Lord told him? No. He said, why didn't you tell me that 40 days ago? But you know what the Lord did a couple years later? Gave him something that was way bigger and showed him, hey, that wasn't even close to what I had in mind, right? And you know what you can do? You can ask the Lord when you're fasting for things, and I think that's good to do. Because it lines up your motive. Why do you want this? I remember Brother Ashton and me, we went on a fast and we were both single at the time and we're praying for a wife. You know? I'm praying for a mother for my children, and I'm praying for a lady that'll be a good leader in the church and will help the culture and the ladies. I was fasting and we're fasting together, and Ashton never been married and he needed to have some problems too. So I said, well, no. And so we're fasting and you know what he did, like up for years, a day every week asking the Lord, bring me a wife, right? And then you know what is, I can't describe to you, and you'll never know it until you experience yourself. I cannot describe to you what the blessing there is when you get together with some brothers and you fast and you see the Lord answer those prayers. Ask and you shall receive. And sometimes you ask differently. We went on a fast, Brother Hugo, me and Ashton, one time. And I had three names there that we were praying for salvation. Right? And a couple weeks ago, one of them came into my office, tears streaming down his face, messed his life all up. And he got there and he asked the Lord to save him. And I said, that was all that time ago, and now this happens. And you know what? Well, sometimes when the Lord answers your prayer, it doesn't look the way that you thought it should. I didn't think he should mess his life up. I knew he should get saved. But you know what you should do when you're fasting? You should ask some things of the Lord. And we were fasting with another brother that was in Delaware at the time. And you know what we asked the Lord for? He had one child and his wife really wanted another child. And the doctor said, you know what you can't do? You can't have another child. But first, you got to give us $15,000 and you got to go through this in vitro thing. And maybe you'll have a child and maybe you won't. But you know what we three of us did is we spent a week praying with the Lord. And you know what happened a couple of months later? I mean, I'll never forget it. He called and he said, hey, Jessica's pregnant. And I said, I cannot believe this. Ashton gets a wife. I get a wife and he gets a child, you know? And I'm telling you what, there's blessings and blessings and blessings in the Christian life. And it's horrible to give up food for a week or 10 days. It's terrible. But you know what? Sometimes you want the Lord more than you want, you know? And sometimes you want to see Him move in a mighty way, in a miraculous way, where you can put your finger on it and say, God answered that prayer. God gave me victory over this. God, this right here, a direct answer to prayer. And it strengthens your faith. Another time we got together, and you know what I prayed? I looked all over San Antonio for a house. And I said, I don't know where. So you know what we did? We fasted and prayed for a couple things. We prayed that Ashton would get all of his debt paid off by May of 2017. And we prayed that I would find a house and he'd find a house in timing and a bunch of stuff. And I never forget when I closed on the house. And it was like so much equity in it, such a good deal, such a good location. I could have never afforded that. And the Lord brought me right to it. And Brother Ashton got all his debts paid off and way before that. And then he got a house he's about to move into. And I'm just saying that it's not wrong to ask the Lord for those things, but your life has to be properly stewarded because God wants to bless people. And you know what I ask the Lord a lot of times is, I know you want to bless in these areas. It's in the Bible. But what am I doing? What's wrong in my life that's hindering you from blessing me? Because God can't give you something if he can't trust you with it, right? And so why would you fast? You would fast to for protection. You would fast for provision. And the third thing will be done. You would fast for progeny. And that's children, okay? So he said this, for our little ones. For our little ones. And then look down to verse 35. Also, the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, offered burnt offerings unto God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all Israel, 90 and 6 rams, and 70 and 7 lambs, and 12 he-goats. Who offered this? The children of those that had been carried away to captivity. And he's fasted for his little ones. And I'll tell you this, more than anything in life, more than $1 million, more than a ribeye steak, more than anything in life, you know what I want? I want to see my little ones, my children serve the Lord. And I don't know if you were the parents of those kids that were offering those offerings at the time. And maybe they had grown into adults, but I don't care how old you get. As a parent, the greatest thing you can ever see is see your children bring an offering to the Lord and serve the Lord. That's the greatest thing that there ever is and ever can be. And you know what I want? Remember when Job, he would go and offer offerings for his children and say, maybe they've sinned and done something foolish and I'm going to pray for them. And listen, I don't want Christianity to stop with me. I want it to go forward into the next generation. And for that to happen, there's going to have to be some fasting to take place. And there's going to have to be a real Christianity that my children can believe in. And it's not just fake. I don't just go to church, but I am actually a Christian and love the Lord. The Bible says this, Isaac digged again the wells of his father Abraham. Remember that? Abraham dug the wells. But you know what Isaac did? He digged them again. And there comes a point where Daddy's Savior has to become Bez Jr.'s Savior. And Seth's Savior. And Noah's Savior. And the future child's Savior. If the Lord so grants that. Amen? And why should we fast? Well, for our children, we want them to serve the Lord. We want that to happen. We want them to be protected. So our good reasons for fasting are for protection, for provision, and for your progeny or for your children, your little ones. All right? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. And listen, we're gonna start